The appearance of the Barbie doll on the cover of Sports Illustrated, marking the 50th anniversary of its swimsuit edition, is stirring up controversy. We'll talk about it this hour and welcome your questions and your reactions. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, March 5th. The makers of Barbie say they are unapologetic about the doll's looks and unattainable body proportions, which critics say can undermine a girl's self-image. Does Barbie and does the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition give men and women the wrong impression of what women are supposed to look like? Is it harmful? Or is this much to do about nothing? Let us know what you think and your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page at The Joy Cardine Show or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Leslie Harris is an assistant professor in the communication department at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Her research focuses on rhetoric in public culture as it pertains to representations of gender. And her new book is State of the Marital Union: Rhetoric, Identity, and 19th Century Marriage Controversies, which will be released later this year. Good morning.
Good morning.
What was your first thought when you heard that Barbie was appearing on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
It was a little shocking, especially since Barbie is a children's toy and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition has very adult content.
Yeah, well, why do you suppose the two got together for this?
I can only speculate, but Barbie needs to, it's a product that needs to be sold, and more attention often leads to more sales. But it doesn't seem like a clear-cut fit in this case.
No. The campaign is being called unapologetic. What does that say to you?
Well, objectification of women is pretty common in American culture especially, and there isn't anything necessarily wrong with objectification. There can be pleasure in viewing something or being viewed, but the context matters here. So it's a child's doll that's being viewed, being placed in this context of objectification, and it's also something that's marketed to children that sends very unrealistic and potentially harmful messages to children.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk a little bit more about when you say it's objectification. What does that mean?
Well, when something is represented as an object rather than a human or an agent, it takes away agency, it takes away the ability to see that person as a full human being. So women can be represented as objects by representing them as primarily sexual beings, not full complex humans. Sometimes images are fragmented, so focusing on different parts of women's bodies instead of the whole woman, or the infantilization of women in advertising, which represents women as being less advanced or less mature.
Mm-hmm. Barbie turns 55 this month, I believe, and she has that doll has certainly been controversial throughout its life. But the makers of Barbie say, "Hey, Barbie is also a career woman. Barbie has given little girls career aspirations. It's not just what she looks like." What's your reaction to that?
Well, Barbie is represented as training for how to be a woman, and Mattel talks about Barbie as a doll where girls can express their individuality and try on different roles. But the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition isn't a role that is particularly helpful for children to be trying on, and it's placed next to images of women who are represented as being primarily sexual. If Barbie was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and she had a muscular, athletic body, if she was playing sports, we would be having a completely different conversation.
Yeah. Maybe we should also turn our attention to the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. It's marking its 50th anniversary. What's so wrong with showing models in swimsuits?
It's not necessarily bad, but currently we don't have a lot of images of women in sports that receive the same amount of attention or value as men in sports. Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition has been around for a really long time, but I wonder if it might be getting a little dated. It may be more helpful if we had more images of women being athletic, being strong, rather than women being half clothed.
Yeah. So what do you think the effect of this pairing of Barbie on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, what effect does this have on society in general?
Well, it's participating in a larger discourse where we think that, where we're conflating sexual objectification and power. So certainly it can feel empowering to be viewed and to be desired, but being valued because of your sexuality, because of fairly unrealistic bodies, isn't real power. It's a guise of freedom rather than real power and freedom.
Yeah. And so do you think that the controversy that has been ignited by this is warranted?
Yeah, I think so. I think it provides a really good opportunity for us to think about why we're viewing these images of women and what messages are we sending to women and to girls in this country.
Yeah. And what's your reaction to those who say, hey, lighten up, everybody's just being too sensitive?
Well, we know that these images participate in the way that we think about our world. And as long as there are systematic power disparities where women's value in sports and business and politics is being undervalued, it's participating in a harmful way of understanding women and women's value to society.
We are talking about the appearance of Barbie on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. What do you think about that? Do you think that these two icons in popular culture objectify women? Do you think it's harmful, or do you think it's much ado about nothing? Let us know your reactions, your questions. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about Barbie appearing on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the 50th anniversary of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, and how that is stirring up controversy. Those who say that this is objectifying women, those who say that that this is giving us the wrong impression on what women are supposed to look like, and that this is harmful. What message do you think this sends? And do you think it's harmful? Did you have a Barbie growing up? Do your children have Barbies? Do you think it's a toy that is a role model for children? 1-800-642-1234. And does the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition make you feel bad about yourself if you're a woman? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Leslie Harris, who's an assistant professor in the communications department at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Her research focuses on rhetoric in public culture as it pertains to representations of gender. We have Teresa on Facebook who writes, I played with Barbies all the time when I was a kid. It was never my goal to look like Barbie, ever. Why? Because I knew she was a toy, and I used her to play imaginary games. The big to-do about how toys are somehow influencing our little girls has always seemed very flawed to me. I think that if little girls are somehow feeling the need to try to achieve the same type of body that Barbie has, the parent should step in, redirect, and remind them that Barbie is a toy for imaginary play. Professor Harris, what do you think of that?
I think it's a good point, but it's important to remember that Barbie is part of a larger culture, and a culture. It's not a clear causal relationship between somebody playing with a doll and then feeling bad about themselves. But we are in a culture where women are very commonly represented as having a particular body type that's valued and being valued for their sexuality. Now, if the doll were advertised in a way that celebrated different understandings of what it means to be a woman, then I think that's beneficial. But it concerns me, the context of it being on the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is what concerns me.
Yeah. And the, did you have a Barbie when you were growing up?
I did. And yeah, I definitely played with Barbies. But I will tell you, I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she doesn't have a Barbie. She has some other dolls that she plays with, and she's very imaginative. But I think I have trouble giving her a Barbie. And when she received one as a gift once, we talked about it. She decided that she didn't want to play with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did want a Barbie when I was a little girl, but my parents didn't get me one. And then eventually, I don't know, they broke down and but I didn't get Barbie. I got her cousin Midge, or I can't remember what her name was, but it wasn't Barbie. And I remember being disappointed, but I'm wondering if they were, you know, even at that, in that day and age thinking, you know, I don't know if this is an appropriate toy for, an 8-year-old girl.
It might be. There's been concerns about Barbie for a really long time. And Mattel has responded to this in a variety of ways. They've introduced some dolls who are friends of Barbie's or little sisters of Barbie who have more realistic body shapes. They've introduced an African-American Barbie who, even though she still has the exact same facial features and shape as Barbie, she has darker skin and darker hair. And they've also introduced Barbie in a wide variety of different careers, many careers that women are traditionally underrepresented in. Mm-hmm. And those are all helpful things to some extent.
We have a comment from Bruce. He emails, what's the difference between Barbie, an unattainable female image, and Superman or Batman, unattainable male images?
I think that's a really good point. When men are celebrated for being unrealistically strong, for always having to save someone else, it sends a message to boys that might be difficult for them to attain. One of the big differences here, though, is that Superman, a lot of these representations of superheroes, they're complex characters. They're agents who make decisions. They sometimes they make bad decisions. Sometimes they make good decisions. And when Barbie is represented as a sexual object in the context of a magazine that represents women as sexual objects, that's a very different message about the possibilities for how to be valued in a culture. But I'm not saying that there are no unproblematic images of men.
Yeah. We are talking with Leslie Harris, who is an assistant professor in the communications department at UW-Milwaukee, talking about the controversy over Barbie appearing on the cover of the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and what message that is sending to women and to men. Talk a little bit about, we're talking some about how Barbie and the swimsuit edition affect women. Does this also affect men, Professor Harris?
I think so. Remember, Sports Illustrated is a magazine that is typically marketed towards men and also marketed towards boys. There are a lot of older boys, adolescent boys, who are really interested in sports and receive this magazine. And then they also receive the swimsuit edition that women are primarily understood and valued as being sexual. And there have been some studies of Sports Illustrated that say that women are very underrepresented in sports, aren't valued as much in sports. And so the combination of the underrepresentation of athletic women and strong women and the swimsuit edition where women are valued for being sexual tells boys how they're supposed to understand women and value women.
Let's go to Penny in Madison. Hi, Penny. What do you think?
Hi, Joy. I love your show.
Thank you.
I think what influences children even more than toys are their parents. I think if their parents choose to drink and smoke and do drugs or whatever, or if they choose to go outside and jog and play tennis and bicycle, that's going to influence the kid a lot more than a toy, I think. None of the kids that I hung around with wanted to be like their toys. It was just like that other guy said. It was just pretend.
Mm-hmm. And that's a point well taken, Penny. Does it bother you at all that Barbie in a swimsuit is on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition?
No, I think it bothers the men a lot more because it's not the real thing.
Yeah, it's actually kind of complicated. It's only on limited editions or something. They got some sort of tie-in to get a toy. It's quite the complicated campaign. Do you think this disappoints men, Professor Harris, that it's Barbie on the cover?
Oh, I'm not really. Yeah. I don't know that I can speak to that. My understanding is that it's an advertising wrap, so they can take the advertising cover off and see the actual cover if they'd like to.
Yeah, and that cover, I was confused by that. The actual cover has three models showing their backsides, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, with their arms around each other.
Yeah. What about her comment that that she doesn't think that toys in any way really influence kids? They're just playing with them, and it's the parent is the most important role model.
I think that's a great point. I mean, we live in a complex culture where we're inundated by advertising and messages and marketing wherever we go, and parents are really important. There have been quite a few studies on this, though, that suggest that when kids are shown unrealistic body images, particularly young girls, they feel bad about themselves. Many want to start losing weight, whether they're overweight or not. So even really good parenting can't insulate a child from a culture that sends unrealistic and problematic images of women. So good parent, there's nothing that can substitute for parents sending really positive messages to their kids. But I think we still need to be cognizant of the ways that advertising influences us in ways that we might not even realize.
Yeah, and we probably should talk a little bit more about that. It's not just Barbie or the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, but the images, unrealistic images of women permeate popular culture, don't they?
Oh, definitely. And there have been some advertising campaigns that respond to this, and those advertising campaigns are getting a lot of attention, in part because there's so much a deviation from the norm. And there's a reason why we're paying attention to those deviations, because we're so used to seeing these images of women that are very, very thin, very unrealistic, and very sexualized.
Chuck in Maguanago is with us. Hi, Chuck. What do you say?
Good morning. How you doing?
I
just have a problem with the whole thing. I appreciate a good, strong woman, but I also appreciate a strong man. There's some assumptions going on here that the parent has the ability to make that value judgment and correct the child. But I was looking at a study by the American Psychological Association yesterday that children at 2-3 years old make judgments about their body and body type and how they look and all that. So there's a whole bunch going on here that, the Barbie doll to young men, young boys, I think, is just supporting the whole industry of what the porn industry is saying, that a woman has to look like this, and if she looks like this, you should, you know, put her on a pedestal and worship her, but the less clothes she has on, the better off you are, and that's just so, so wrong.
Chuck seems very wise, Professor Harris.
Yeah, I definitely agree with him.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chuck, for the call. Well, we have just a minute before news time, so no time for another call, but we will take more of your calls, your reactions, your questions for our guest, Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the communications department at UW-Milwaukee. Her research focuses on rhetoric in public culture as it pertains to representations of gender. And we are talking with her because of the controversy that has erupted over the appearance of Barbie on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Do these two icons in public culture, Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition and Barbie, objectify women? Or do you think that we're being too sensitive? What's your take on this? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What is Barbie doing on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition? And is there anything wrong with that? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Wednesday, March 5th. We're talking about why Barbie is on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition and what message that is sending women. And we're welcoming your reactions, your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the communication department at UW-Milwaukee. Her new book, State of the Marital Union, Rhetoric, Identity, and 19th Century Marriage Controversies, will be released later this year. Her research focuses on rhetoric in public culture as it pertains to representations of gender. And we welcome again your input for her. And just to recap for those listeners just joining us, Professor Harris, it's your theory that Barbie and Sports Illustrated teamed up for this 50th anniversary of the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated, both so they could kind of boost their sales?
Yeah, they're both products to be sold, so it stands to reason that this sort of attention might help sales of both of those products.
Certainly, they're getting a lot of attention and a lot of controversy. This is even controversial attention is good attention.
Yeah, sometimes.
Let's take some calls. John in Rhinelander is with us. Hi, John.
Hi. I'd just like to say that the operative concept in human nature is still nature. And the fractal meme that rules this topic is kids learn by example. I find my women friends, a lot of them still talk about their bodies, even if they're joking in a derogatory fashion. They joke about it to defray it. But, you know, kids hear this. We want them to believe that beauty's from the inside, and that if you feel good and you eat right, that you're beautiful, and we all know that's true. But if you don't live that through your life, the kids won't get that, no matter what doll they play with or what the commercial culture tries to do.
Yeah, so women joke about their bodies like, oh, I'm too fat, that kind of stuff, you mean, John?
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts the kids, and you know, boys and girls. It's we have to set a better example. That's the only way to change these values, is to examine them in our own lives.
Yeah. Why do you suppose women think they're too fat?
I don't know. I think they just continue it on. They heard it before, and I don't know. These negative values just keep going. Who knows why? But you know, we have to actively take hold and change them. That's like I say. That's the operative concept here.
Yeah. All right.
We want change. We've got to We've got to do it in ourselves and our own lives, and then the kids will pick it up, and they'll change. I know I've got a niece that does this, and her kids don't have these problems because she does. She just decided she wouldn't have it.
Thank you very much, John. Well, what about that, Professor Harris, that women need to stop talking down their own bodies, even if they're joking?
I think it's true, but it's really hard to do. Advertising has power in part because it draws on things that are true in our culture. So it's not that advertisers just decided one day that they were going to represent women in unrealistic ways and highly sexualized ways, but this is something that exists in our culture and is amplified in advertising and tells us what we're supposed to value. And when these images are all around us every day and they're repeated over and over again, it becomes a type of truth that has a lot more power. So even if there's part of us that recognizes that these representations are unrealistic and potentially harmful, really feeling and enacting that is much more difficult.
Mm-hmm. So how do you suppose John's niece was able to overcome the influence of all these unrealistic images in popular culture and be able to tell her kids that beauty is on the inside?
Well, I think conversations like this are really important. We have to be critical consumers. And we have to think about these images that we see and don't just passively consume them, but really think about what they're doing and what messages they're sending and what they tell us we're supposed to be valuing. And so if we can engage them critically, then we can do a lot of good in reshaping these expectations and understandings of what it means to be a woman and a man in our culture.
Next, we go to Anne in Madison. Hello, Anne.
Hi. Well, I think that for the last 40 years, 50 years or so, you know, sort of the same period Barbie has been in existence, there's been a paradoxical body, not controversy, but it's kind of a paradox that obesity has been and overweight have been, you know, more and more the rule in American life, or at least overweight, but the image that gets women on the covers of magazines, although they seem to be dying, and on television and in public life, not politics, but you know, most kinds, is the image of someone who's almost, a woman who's almost anorexic and is usually blonde. You know, the Barbie image is everywhere. And if you look at, just turn on any station on television, and if you see women as anchors, they're almost invariably quite thin, voluptuous, and their hair is usually blonde, whether it's natural or dyed. And I think this is, you know, to put this on the cover of things stuck on the cover of Sports Illustrated is, I agree with Chuck, you know, this is sort of a wink from Sports Illustrated saying this is what we really think of this so-called swimsuit contest and the women who win it. You know, this is, it's really pornography. It's not heavy pornography, but it's showing contempt for women.
Thank you very much, Anne. What do you make of that paradox that over the last, 30 years or so, women are thinner and thinner on the magazine covers and in popular culture, but yet the obesity epidemic has skyrocketed. Is there a connection, do you think, Professor Harris?
It's hard to say. Some of the studies suggest that women, when they consume these images of very thin women, they feel bad about themselves, start dieting. Others simply abandon a healthy body image because they can never reach it. So you have this expectation of what you're supposed to be that you can never achieve. And if you completely give up on being healthy and active, then that can contribute to obesity. But it's certainly problematic when we have a culture that, on the most part, does not fit these expectations of what it means to be thin and beautiful. And I think we also see things like this in politics as well. The last caller talked a little bit about how these images of women are in so many different places. There was a study really recently that was very interesting that looked at media coverage and responses to women in politics. And very often, women politicians, there were comments on their appearance, their wrinkles, if they were attractive or not. And that was happening at a very different rate than male politicians. So I think it's really everywhere.
We had a caller who couldn't hold on, who wanted to make the point that women objectify themselves. Look at, she would say, look at their, their hip-hugging jeans and their, skimpy tops and the way they dress and the way they want to, highlight their sex appeal. What would be your response to that?
I think it's a really good point. Objectification is something that I think as humans we tend to do. We look at somebody, especially if we feel that they're attractive and can objectify them. The problem with objectification is when it's associated with uneven power and also when the objectification is really consistently sexualized and disempowering a group of people like women. So even if women participate in the culture, it doesn't mean that it's an okay thing.
Yeah. And do they participate in the culture because of the message the culture is sending them?
I think absolutely. If we're telling women that you're valuable when you're sexually attractive, that you get more attention, that people will pay more attention to you when you're attractive and thin, then that's something that women will do. And it's important that to remember that being a sexual object or objectification can get you more attention, but it's not the same thing as power and real freedom and people valuing you as an entire human being. And I think it's really difficult for women to negotiate these different expectations.
Let's go to Elizabeth in Platteville. Hello, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I feel that there is far too much attention paid to all this kind of thing, whether it's on TV, on magazine covers, or wherever, in papers. Look at the adulation there is for all the gowns and the way the women look at the awards. There's talk about that. There's talk about this cover, these swimsuit pictures, Barbie. If we didn't talk about it so much, and if there wasn't so much hype made over it, if we ignored it more, I don't think it would be as popular, and there wouldn't be the demand for that kind of thing. And I totally agree with the other caller that there should be more of this kind of discussion as to what it really is in the homes and with parents and all. I think that that kind of thing sells because everybody rushes out to get it because everybody's talking about it. Mm. If it were just more, as I said, ignored, and it didn't become a thing that everybody was talking about, there would be a whole lot less reason to be putting this kind of thing out for everybody to see.
Thank you very much for that perspective, Elizabeth. Maybe we should not even be talking about it right now, Professor Harris. Just ignore this stuff.
Well, when we have these images all around us, if we don't talk about it, we don't have the opportunity to engage critically. I didn't realize until I had children how pervasive these images are, where you can't walk through a mall to, buy clothes for your toddler without your toddler seeing a half-naked woman and saying, "Mommy, why isn't that woman wearing any clothes?" They're everywhere. And if we don't critically engage them, we don't have the opportunity to send those messages to ourselves and our kids that these representations are problematic.
We are talking about Barbie appearing on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, the 50th anniversary of that swimsuit edition. The campaign is called Unapologetic, and it certainly is resulting in some controversy. We're welcoming your reaction to a child's toy appearing on an adult magazine. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We also welcome your views as to whether this is harmful to have this toy long criticized for for showing women an unattainable beauty, appearing on the Sports Illustrated magazine, famous for showing also women who are have pretty unrealistic proportions. Does this objectify women? Does it harm society? We welcome your thoughts and questions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Leslie Harris, an assistant professor in the communication department at UW-Milwaukee, about the controversy that has resulted from Barbie appearing on the cover of the 50th anniversary edition of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. Do you think this objectifies women? Do you think this is a harmful pairing? Or do you think that we're being too sensitive, that this is much to do about nothing? Let's go to our next caller. John in Boaz is with us. Hello, John.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think media likes to sell magazines. That's a big thing. But and I think most women always worry about being too fat, and I don't understand that. And I think women are the most beautiful creature that God has made by nature, but why do they spend so much time in front of the mirror making themselves like it's almost an obsession?
Well, John, I might ask you to theorize on that, but I'll ask our guest. John wants to know why women spend so much time on their appearance and in front of the mirror.
Well, when the most predominant message that women get about other women is that you're valued based on your attractiveness, we internalize that message, and it can be difficult to challenge it. But I think it's really important to note that men get messages about their body, too, about what it means to be a good man, about what it means to look up to what men, good men look like. So we all get these messages, but I think that more frequently women are getting messages about their value being tied to their sexual attractiveness.
Yeah, Jim from Bayfield asks, what about Ken dolls? Do Ken dolls objectify men?
It's difficult to say, in part because Ken doesn't play as predominant a role in the story of Barbie. Ken is an accessory sometimes to go with Barbie, and it's not Ken that's on the cover of the magazine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need to really think about all children's toys and have critical conversations with our kids, too, about how are you using these toys and what do they mean to you and why do they mean those things. And I think that can do a lot in getting our kids to think in more complex ways about the role playing that they do.
Mm-hmm. Steve in Hayward says, Barbie is just a harmless fantasy like soap operas. What about that?
That, I mean, that's fair. We all have fantasies, and we all find pleasure in viewing and in being viewed. But as long as it's participating in a larger culture that sexualizes women, that represents women in very unrealistic ways, it becomes part of a larger disparity in power. And that's what I find harmful. So there's nothing wrong with fantasy, but it's when that fantasy is consistently sending a message that can be damaging, that's when that troubles me.
Yeah. Let's go to Elizabeth in Green Bay next. Hello, Elizabeth.
Good morning. My comment is, it's in the face of women constantly. Look good. Look at how she is. 80-some years old, Botox, her face isn't moving. But boy, she looks good. My comment is, men don't have this in front of their face. There was a gorgeous David Beckham in underwear commercial. Wow, I never saw that before. Chiseled body. It was taken off the air. It was on once. Women, Victoria's Secret, always in your face for the entertainment, for a measuring stick. Men don't have those measuring sticks. The radio, the TV isn't playing these commercials in men's face or for women's entertainment. there's a inequality here. There was a Christmas ditty about nine guys in boxers underwear. They thought it was too radical. They took it off the air. Men don't have these things in their face. Every commercial, Victoria's Secret.
Yeah, Elizabeth sees this in women's faces all the time, the objectification of women, but not so much men, Professor Harris?
I think that's absolutely true. The images of sexualized women are absolutely pervasive, and it's far less common to see men sexualized in these same ways. And when they are, they tend to be notable because they deviate from the norm. So those commercials that the caller was referring to, they get talked about because they are so unusual. Instead, a lot of the images of men in advertising associate men's power and value with wealth and status. And that has its own problems, but it's a really different way of understanding what it means to be a man and how we value men versus what it means to be a woman and valuing women because of her sexuality and sexual availability or attractiveness.
Mike in Waukesha says he has two nieces in the 6 to 10-year-old range. Buying clothing for them is getting harder and harder because it is so revealing. I guess bemoaning that it's still out there in full force, and he feels he can't even buy appropriate clothing for little girls. In our final minute, what do you see as being a force of change here, Professor Harris? Are we just going to have to live with this type of portrayal in popular culture, or do you think it'll change?
Well, I don't think we ever have to live with it, but we have seen some changes recently and a lot of attention being paid to advertising where more realistic women are being represented. And if consumers demand those types of representations and more complex and nuanced understandings of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be valued in our culture, then we're going to start seeing more of it. The goal of advertising is to sell, and if sexualized, unrealistic images of women stop selling, then we're going to start seeing them less frequently.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Leslie Harris, PhD, an assistant professor in the communication department at UW-Milwaukee. Her new book, State of the Marital Union, Rhetoric, Identity, and 19th Century Marriage Controversies, will be released later this year. Thanks to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air production. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Coming up next, it's our big question on President Obama's proposed budget. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about new research regarding hate groups in America. Hate groups are on the decline. That's tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.